Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Or if you are just joining us, welcome inside hour two of the Rod Peterson Show. Canada's only live morning sports talk show is right here. Breaking news, we're told today, a report that John Ryan has signed with the Saskatchewan Roughriders in free agency. We'll await official confirmation from the football club. I want to get to some viewer questions just before we're joined by Devon Claybrooks, who will be joining us from Calgary, most recently the head coach of the BC Lions. Nick Lewis and I want to know what he's up to now. And also, Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders will be joining us live from Long Island. Ebbs two helpers last night in the Islanders' OT victory over the Dallas Stars. Can you put the question up from Laura Bennett or the comment, guys, from Zach Caleros? We spent more time on the Bomber quarterbacking than I expected, but it was a good visit. Laura in Winnipeg, regarding Zach, she says, during the parade, Caleros was sitting by himself on his phone, not engaging in the celebration with his teammates. Hopefully he mixes in well with the team this year, at least until he gets injured. Ooh! Ow, Laura! But is that not kind of sing in line with what I'm saying about Zach? He's not a party guy. He's not going to be organizing, pin the tail on the donkey. He's going to be going out and throwing touchdowns. That's Zach.
I don't even know how you seen Zach. My eyes were on Strebler the whole time. like that well, dude, was a rock star. And just like Ovechkin when he won it, right? You want to see those guys go out there. He had on the shorts with the fur coat with no shirt and the cowboy hat. And I see someone got a tattoo of it.
I know.
That's awesome.
That's very Winnipeg-ish to get a tattoo of Chris Strebler. But that's cool. You've commemorated the 2019 Grey Cup championship. But again, that's the thing was that having spent a lot of time around him, and I'm with you. I mean, I heard that Zach wasn't even at the parade. Those were the messages I was getting from friends of mine in Winnipeg because they didn't see him. But you're right. Strebler was jumping up and down with a cowboy hat and liquored to the gills and fur coat. Good for him. Zach's not one of those guys.
No, he's not.
And, you know, for anybody to say that he wasn't mixing with his teammates or whatever, who cares? Who delivered when the chips are down? It was Zach. So it's an interesting discussion. And by the way, ahead of Devon Claybrooks, I want to ask you about Strebler. Paul Figler's watching in Red Deer, Alberta today. He of the dubnetwork.ca website, which, by the way, Paul, I'm now reading every day. Thank you. Fresh in my inbox, WHL News. He says, when's the show going to 3 hours? That's not up to me. One of our owners here, Paul, you've met Paul, Nick, right?
I have
met many
Paul.
Times.
Yeah.
He would like to go to 3 hours immediately. I don't know how I feel about my 2 hour workday going to a 3 hour workday. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that yet. I kind of like what's going on here right now. Oh, and by the way, Nelson Hakowicz writing us says Riders have made it official. John Ryan staying in the nation. So there you go. Breaking news there. What's your take on Chris Strebler to the Arizona Cardinals? I thought that was a pretty good chat last hour.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot like Taysom Hill probably, but I don't think he's as good an athlete as Taysom. But in the red zone, like Dave said, if you're in the red zone or if you need tough yards on 3rd and 1, 3rd and 3, you can do a lot of different things with Strebler that you can't do with Kyler Murray. But will he be a quarterback that they can put in the game to drop back and make passes? No, he couldn't do it here. He's not going to do it there. But, you know, they were going to try to find a way to utilize him. His size, he's put together very well. And when he gets the ball in his hands, he can make plays. He can make guys miss tackles. He's tough. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him line up at tight end or motion across and do some things. And, yeah, just build packages for him because the NFL is going to how can we get it done? It's not just all about talent. It's about how can we get it done. And you see a guy that says, we can utilize this. And I think the Saints did a great job with Taysom Hill. You know, he lines up quarterback, receiver, running back. He lines up all over the place, and he makes plays.
That's what I see. I wouldn't be surprised to see him on special teams either, depending on how the Cardinals do things. But I don't think lining him up on first and goal from the 8 and smashing him in like a demolition car is the way they're going to do it. I think it's going to be a little more strategic than that. But it's an interesting chat as about why Strebler gets the deal and not any other CFL quarterback, which furthermore is why we are, while we await Javon Claybrook's joining us, your take on Dave Naylor's assertion last hour that the NFL does not sign the CFL's best players. I think we've long known that, but Dave put it out there. Maybe you can explain that philosophy.
Well, I don't think it's just they don't sign the best players. I think that a lot of the best players stay. You know, I know Joffrey had an offer to go down. He stayed in Calgary. I know G. Roy's had some offers to go down. He stayed. And I know I had offers early in my career to go down, and I stayed. So it's not always just that guys don't get the opportunity. It's just maybe the opportunity doesn't look right. Like, why would I go down and be a third or fourth guy when I can be the number one guy here or do really well? And most people make it about money. Life is not all about money. It's about happiness and enjoying what you do. So I know a lot of guys in the NFL that don't like it. They love the money, but they don't like it. And there's guys that wish they could come up here and just play up here. And more guys than not say, if the CFL paid more money, I would rather play there than the NFL.
Oh, of course. And I can tell you this. I think you're starting to realize that the more time you spend around here, broadcasters, coaches, therapists, although we all do different things within the game, it's the same for all of us. Because I know a lot of NHL and NFL broadcasters that hate their lives.
Yeah.
But it is the money. In a lot of ways, the lifestyle. But I'm getting a lot of questions from people now a lot. What are your goals? What are your goals? Where do you see yourself? And I say, I just want to be happy. And they look at you like you're speaking another language. What do you mean? I just want to be happy because I hadn't been happy for a long time. I'm real happy here. So you get it.
I get it.
You totally get it.
I get it. You know, and I look at, you know, like Canadians and I'm like, look, I chose you. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of guys that don't have to. You know, there's guys that come up here for a year or two or maybe longer. It's the same way, but I think it works in both ways. I think there's a lot of great NFL players that came up here. Ricky Williams, Andre Rison. There's a lot of guys that come up here.
Long list.
And they don't pan out. And, I mean, Ricky Williams went back down and had a 1,500-yard rushing season the year after he left the CFL. So just because there's a difference, it's not – it doesn't mean that you're better if you play there. They just have better marketing and more people, and they get paid more.
Speaking of marketing, by the way, it's another thing, the Naylor visit. I jotted down a lot of notes there. He mentioned the one-year contracts and how the Argo marketing department gave out all these bobbleheads for Darrell Walker last year, and now he could be gone after 1 year. The first thing that popped into my head was, why are you doing current player bobbleheads? Do classics.
Yep.
Why do we have to do the thinking for everybody? Just like jerseys, people say all the time, I want to buy a jersey. What jersey should I buy? Buy Lancaster. By Elgard, they're never going out of style, right?
Or just put Velcro in the back and just have replaceable nameplates.
You could do that, but who wants to do that?
Yeah, but they have to do something to entice players to stay in the same spot for longer than a year. I think it's bad for the game, and I think it's bad for the fans to constantly support this game when everything changes. Right. Part of the fan experience is to go out and talk trash to the opposing team. It's hard to do that when every week you don't know if that guy's going to be on your team the next year or the next week. So I would like to see players stay on the same team more.
Hey, I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying it's the way that it is.
It is.
So it's not changing. It's not going back just so they can sell jerseys. I totally get what you're saying. But if they handed out 5,000 Darrell Walker Argo bobbleheads last year, and now he's gone. That's the Argo's fault, not Darrell Walker's fault. That's kind of what I'm saying there. And just with this sports marketing, that's why I get, we talk about it every single day. I remember in the early 2000s, because your first year in the league was 04, right?
Yes.
Riders were just starting to come up then.
Yeah.
Early 2000s, Riders were awful. Hadn't made the playoffs for years. My first season with the club was 99. And we would all sit around together because it was a small staff. And we'd sit around and talk about marketing. And we're like, man, we're bad. We can't market these players, unfortunately. So how are we going to market this team? It's where Canada's team came from. It's better in the stands came from. And I got to say that Phoenix Group was a part of that too. Gainer on merchandise for kids. Because we couldn't market the team. I'm just talking about getting creative. And when it comes to bobbleheads, Classic is the way to go. Sean in Saskatoon writes, he says, I got my Durant Classic jersey, never going out of style. I've also got a 2013 Dressler jersey. You know, I'm going to Vegas next week with my brother. Well, here's one. Dougal? Is that, do you know this guy? Dougal Cameron? See on the left?
Yeah, yeah.
82 Lewis will always be in fashion in Calgary.
Awesome.
Do they retire numbers in Calgary? Do they have retired numbers?
They have five.
Who are they? Can you remember?
Alan Pitts.
Sponge?
I'm not sure if Sponge is.
Flutie?
No, Sponge isn't because Keon was 25.
Okay.
Flutie? I'm not sure if Flutie is. I think Garcia is.
Let me think. Herm Harrison. Wayne Harris.
Yeah. Wayne, Herm. There's five of them.
Okay. Sorry to
I
put you on
know.
A spot like
I
that.
Know.
I'm sure I couldn't name all
it's
the rider ones
right now. It's been a while since I've been in the locker room. It was always up there. And
that's
I wore,
what I'm saying.
I wore 18 in college, and that's the number I wanted when I got to the Stamps. And since it was already retired, you know.
82 seemed to fit.
Yeah. I remember walking into the to Sports Check, and I seen an 82 jersey. And I told him, I said, you need to take these Donnie Blair jerseys down. There's a new 82 in town.
I could see you.
And they started
that.
Laughing and everything. And I said, all right, watch. They were down about 2 weeks later.
Ryan Kowalik writes in. He says, I got my Lancaster jersey with me in Switzerland. See? They travel well. Go retro and you will never regret it. And I kind of felt guilty. People bugged me that I haven't had an NHL team the last 4 or 5 years. But then I looked back and said, it's not my fault. I'm being real. My dad worked for Dallas for 26 years. It was really easy to cheer for the Stars. And then he retired. I wasn't going to cheer for them anymore. And then my friend bought the Arizona Coyotes. So for 3 years, I was going on there. And it was nice being a Coyote fan. But I couldn't talk with any other Coyotes fans up here. There are none. Spent a year cheering for Vegas. And then I fell back in with the Oilers. But the nice thing is I got jerseys of all these teams. So when I go to Vegas next week, I will be wearing my Golden Knights jersey. Nelson writes in, he says, the Stamps actually have 7 retired numbers.
Let's make it 8.
82
Let's
needs
make
to be
it
in
8.
There. From Mick Panko, he says, I have a DeFrance number 74. That is timeless. Do you see what I'm saying? There's this whole one-year contract thing in the CFL. People are acting like it's only the CFL. Doesn't every team have? How many times you hear a guy sign a one-year deal? You hear it a lot. Baseball, NHL. Don't sit around and mope that you can't market because the players don't stick around long enough. Give me a break.
And it's
put
so
a little more work into it.
It's so funny because the NFL, guys hate the franchise tag, which is a one-year deal, but you have to be what is the average of the top 3 contracts of that season.
Poor babies.
So they make so much money in 1 year, but they hate the one. They hate the franchise tag, and the CFL guys want to sign one-year deals so they have the freedom to move and make more money as it goes.
Can you imagine if the CFL had some version of that, like franchise tag? Well, you'd have to make salaries public for one, so I guess that would never happen in the CFL.
Yeah.
But it is quite fascinating, particularly with what Zach Caleros got from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, close to $500,000. I say good for Zach, and you said good for Dan Vertlieb, the agent. Good for both of them.
Yeah.
Hope they go out and have a stake on that. Paul Figler in Red Deer watching. He says those 7 retired numbers for the Calgary Stampeders, Hood, Burden, McLaughlin, Pitts, Ferzani, Harris, and Laird. Is that seven? Dude. That's four. That's seven. Herm Harrison is not retired.
Yeah, Herm's not.
Thank Dude, you, Laird Paul. Is. That surprises me. Surprises me a lot. What I'm really excited about is I had Mark McLaughlin and Nick Lewis in these chairs together. But you are the Stamps' all-time leading receiver.
No.
Are Alan you not?
Pitts. Alan Pitts still is the all-time leading receiver in Stamps.
Yardage also. And receptions?
I have more receptions overall, but not with the Stamps.
Not with Stamps. Okay.
So Tom Frizzani was number two, actually, and I passed him in both. So now he's number three.
The founder of SportCheck.
Yes, one of them. Yeah.
Chris Cooper in Southern Ontario watching. He says, I'm excited to see what Jeremy O'Day does in free agency with a couple of key positions, i.e. linebacker and defensive line. Larry Dean and Dylan Wynn would sure look good in green and white. I'm not following it as closely as many are. Just what I read, I'm certainly not sending out text messages or poking my nose around where it doesn't belong. But if they've got to trim Micah Johnson's contract, do they not? They can't have him back at two. Well, he was on a one-year deal as it was, but they can't pay him $250,000 again, can they?
But I think that's the thing. It's like Darrell Walker in Toronto making $275 or whatever it was. Those guys go in, and then if you don't play up to that standard, now you're looking to take a pay cut, and you're like, if I'm taking a pay cut, I'm going to where I want to go.
And I think and you can't blame them.
And I think the reason Micah came here was because of the money.
Right.
So if you're coming to a place for the money, and then the money's no longer there, then you're not going to be at the place.
Well, but it was only a one-year deal. This was a risk that he took.
Yes, it is. And they all take risks. You always want to bet on yourself, but they all take risk, and he took a risk, and it just didn't work out. But, I mean, he did get doubled and triple-teamed a lot, and it did help the rest of the D-line a lot. And D-line's different because it's not all about stats. When you're taking double teams and you're giving Charleston and AC and Zach Evans, you give them all these two-way goes, and you're just freeing up space for them, and then you're stopping the run inside. Like, that's huge.
Well, this is why I have so much faith in Jeremy O'Day as a general manager, is he'll know. He'll know by watching the film. You would hope most general managers would know that, but he's going to know exactly what Micah Johnson's worth for 2020. Maybe it's not as much as he was worth in 2019.
Yep.
We're going to take a break, and we're still awaiting Devone Claybrooks. We know for a fact Jordan Eberle will be with us from Long Island. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Episode 171 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show continues after this break. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Just ahead of Devon Claybrooks, we got a good news, bad news situation. Breaking news. Saskatchewan Roughriders have signed punter John Ryan to a one-year deal, and Nick Lewis just informing me the Montreal Alouettes have cut their entire cheerleading squad. How does that happen?
I don't know.
We got to look into this. He just read it to me off his...
And I know some of them, and they're like great. They didn't even come to the Grey Cup last year. So that was a big thing. So
this CFL football operations cap has gone too far.
Way too far.
Getting rid of cheerleaders? Anyways, we're going down to the States now on video chat. Nick's going to stick with me through this interview, and then he's going to roll. We got Devon Claybrooks joining us today. Actually, he's from Calgary, I believe they said. How you doing, Devon?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the time. We got your fella, Nick Lewis, with you here. And I said to him, what are we going to ask Devon? And he says, let's ask him what he's doing now and what he's up to. How are you? And what are you up to?
I'm just listening to Montreal get rid of all those cheerleaders. I mean, Nick, some of them cheerleaders have been there since, like, we played back in the day. Like, when I got up here in 07 in the league, I think it was, like, four or five of those cheerleaders were on the still cheering that are still cheering right now. So, I mean, everything has a shelf life, as we all know.
Oh, that is the biggest story of the day. And the toughest part is Nick didn't have his headphones on. Now he does. He just said, Nick, that some of those cheerleaders have been with the club since 07. This is a travesty. Yeah, there you go. He's got you now.
Like Julie. Yeah. Julie's been there for a long time.
Hey, man, we wanted everybody to remain anonymous now. So you're doing too much.
I didn't say no last names. Because I remember when I was there, she was like, I've been a cheerleader as long as you've been a player. So, yeah.
Now,
and then to end like this,
exactly.
Like not even a – yeah.
Great game, dirty business. How many times do we need to say hey, we chuckle, but this is bad. We got to look into this story that the Alouettes have got rid of their cheerleaders for 2020. That's just wrong. Devon, you seem pretty low stressed. So things good with you?
Ah, man, I can't complain too much. Living my best life. taking some trips. Been to a few places, had a few interviews. And, you know, I got some things in the work right now, but we'll see what shakes.
All right, good stuff. Well, we hope that you can break the news here. If you do have any news, do it here. But looking back at 2019, what's your thoughts when you think about that season with the BC Lions?
It was a fun, great learning experience. You got to see it from a different side, a different perspective. I mean, I think that we all as a staff and players in the organization grew, and I think we headed in a right direction. And, you know, kudos and best of luck to them.
What did you learn about that first season in charge as a head coach? Anything surprise you?
I think probably the thing that you learned is that you have to do a good job of delegating. You have to have a good group, in which I did. I had a great group. It was funny because everybody would like to talk about the inexperience of the coaching staff, but I would put the experience in the way they handle the situation and handle the guys when you're losing and you're still trying to fight and you're still trying to do your thing. And to keep those guys together, keep them believing. I mean, kudos to the staff, and they did a great job.
Nick, you were on that staff. What did you learn in 2019?
Man, I learned that it takes a lot of work, you know, and I was never afraid to put in the work. And it was one of those things where, like you said, we got talked a lot about the inexperience. But when it comes to on the field and getting the guys prepared and ready, I felt like we did a good job of that. And, you know, you'd see Ottawa go out there and get blew out. You see Toronto get blew out. You see teams get blew out. We didn't get blew out. We were in games. And there was games that we had double-digit leads that we lost late. And that's a part of the growing experience of, you know, when bringing so many guys on the offense together that's never played together. You have Mike and Duran and you know, Rutt and John White and all these different pieces, and they never played together. So getting that continuity and having them ready to compete, I felt like at the end of the year, if Mike didn't break his wrist, we feel like we could have been in the playoffs and stole that spot from Edmonton.
You were on the way, Devon. I mean, how much do you think about this stuff? Have you moved on, or are you kind of looking back saying, I would have changed this or that?
Well, I mean, you can't really, you learn from things and you move on and you move forward and, you know, you just hope you're afforded and blessed to another opportunity to showcase your skills as a head coach, and you know that things you would handle and do differently and those type of things. And, but for the most part, I mean, the experience is a great once in a lifetime opportunity and experience, and I love the opportunity and I'm excited to do it again.
Well, as they say, you either win or you learn, right? And it's funny because we had Duran on here a couple weeks ago, and he goes, if he had it all to do again, he would have spent more time with Mike Roddy getting on the same page. I'm like, well, easy to say now, DC, but what do you think when you hear that?
I mean, you could see that there was a disconnect at times between, you know, those two guys and just the chemistry and those type of things, but I mean, Mike put the time in and put the hours in, and Duran put in the time and the hours, but didn't put in the time and hours when he should have with Mike and those type of things. But as you say, it's a learning and it's a growth process for everybody and everything. And if they could do it all over again, I mean, I guess we still have jobs. So technically we don't. So so that is what it is. But I mean, life's good, man. I can't complain too much. I mean, I'm still living my best life, still blessed. Just deciding on, you know, what moves I want to make this year, or, you know, might do some radio and some things like that. So, I mean, this is a whole bunch of options. I'm fortunate enough to have a great group of a great network of friends and things like that. So, I mean, I'm just enjoying every day, volunteering, helping Keon with some things and some kids and stuff like that. So just enjoying it.
You know, it's funny, by the way, with Duran, he's 28. Cody Fajardo's 27. Like, they're almost the same age, and it's like Duran's been front and center his whole life, and Cody's this brand new thing. And the reason I bring that up, Devon, is I think Duran's still figuring out what it's going to take for he himself personally to fit in and be successful, let alone working with a quarterback or receivers group. But that's another topic. I will say this, pointed question, but the Riders had a D-line opening, and I think it was Nick that said, Devon's not taking a position coach job at this stage of the game. What are you looking at? Is that a position coach in the CFL is not something you would look at, or have you thought about it?
Well, I haven't really decided on any direction. Like, I'm not too good to say I'm never going to coach D-line again, because I think that's the further you get away from the ball, the further it is and you lose the touch. As a positional coach, you have your pulse on your guys, and as a coordinator, you try to continue to have the pulse of your guys, but your positional coaches work with them on a daily basis, and then in a head coach, you're another person removed as well. So I think that as a position coach, you really get to, that's when you get to get the nuts and the bolts, and you really get to form the clay that you mold into your players. I think that those are awesome experiences, and I'm never above that. I enjoy that. It just is getting dirty as you're doing it in a game plan. I think that it's a great experience. And I mean, I would never say that. I'd never say never about taking a position coach job, because I think coaching is coaching. And as long as you're in the game and you're enjoying and you love it, I mean, I haven't had to work. It's football, right? So, I mean, I'm fortunate and blessed to be able to have a career that allows me to do that. So, I mean, I'm not too good for anything. I mean, I'll take anything. It's about being in the right situation and working with the right people at this moment, and people that you can trust and that have a common goal. If you can find that, then, I mean, I think the sky's the limit.
But I think that you're just saying contractually,
you're
in a position where you have to take it.
I'm just saying this year.
Right. Yeah, like
to take the buyout from BC and then go to be a position coach when he could be a position coach or a DC next year. I think that was I mean, he's definitely one of the smartest
Nick,
guys.
Nick, you look a little slim right now. Coach. You look a little slim, Nick.
I'm getting there.
You look a little slim there.
I'm about to get summer fit.
I thought that was a wide lens for a second.
I'm about to get summer fit. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm going to lose 40 pounds in 3 months.
No.
I'm going to get on that.
Stop lying to that lady, man.
Lance Armstrong. I'm going to go on tour to Lewis.
Your tour de Lewis is on a spin bike. You ain't even going nowhere.
Hey, I don't get drug tested by the CFL no more.
Well, let me just ask you this, by the way, because my doctor said I need to lose 30, and people are saying intermittent fasting, keto diet, this, that, the other thing.
Tell them about it.
How's your diabetes, Devon, by the way? And has your stress level come down that you're not coaching at the moment? Has that helped your diabetes situation?
it was like the thing that everybody talks about is this stress level and the stress level of being a head coach. I mean, I think stress is what you make it. I mean, I felt like we had our guys prepared every week and we competed every week, and those weren't stressful situations at all. Excuse me. But I think the stress of it is that you I've been doing intermittent fasting and dieting, and it's been working well for me. I mean, my my numbers are great. I mean, I don't even really have to take insulin anymore. So, I mean, actually, Nick did have, like, some shade tree thing that actually finally worked. So, out of the, all the grass and ginger root things that he's been selling, so one thing finally worked. So, I give him a little credit.
Okay. I'm, good. Like, the healthiest unhealthy person.
I thought that was
right, because you can't sell nothing looking how fat you is. That's why.
I sell a good time. That's all.
Yes, I will agree with that. That is the truth.
All right, Devone, we'll let you go. I appreciate this, the chuckles. Good luck in 2020. I hope you stay in touch. And, yeah, enjoy yourself. Looks like you are.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Devone Claybrook's joining us from Calgary today. And you got to go.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get my daughter off to school and get her ready to go. And
okay.
Episode 6 airing tomorrow, so I got to go shoot that.
Let's drop that before you go, and then I'll do the sports update and let you roll. For the Nick Lewis walk-off, what's going on in your life right now? You got a lot of exciting
man,
things
the
going
Lulu
on.
Logic podcast, it's going really great. Just done Keon Raymond on Monday. It was a really great episode. So I've got Stevie Bags, Kevin Glenn, Vernon Adams right before he announced his contract, and TK, who's an ex-military vet. So I'm having fun with these podcasts, man, just getting into some of the stories, the journeys of to success and how these people have built their lives around being successful and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to today. It's a great conversation, one of my ex-teammates. And this is the first time I feel like there might be some confrontation because the way it's set up, but I hope it's not, and I hope it goes through well.
All right. And you got a clothing line we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
and
Always stuff like Bet that. On You. So yeah. I'll talk to you about that more on Monday. But yeah, Always Bet on You, because it's all about betting on yourself, right? Let's be our best selves. But quit going to work, like you said, not being happy. Bet on yourself to live your best life and go out there and prove that you can.
I love it. Yeah. I'll wear some on the thing here. I don't expect a discount. All right, Nick. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All right. Great one. Nick Lewis. And Ebbs is ready. Listen, I just got to do a sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill. Here's the Nick Lewis walk-off. There he goes. Nick Lewis, Hall of Fame receiver, on his way out. Last night in the dub, Tyler Pazuzu and Michael Kwasnica both scored twice as the Vancouver Giants toppled the Tri-City Americans 12-4 last night. In the dub, Holden Katsalay and Bowen Byram each added a goal and two assists, while Cole Shepard tacked on four helpers for the Giants, who are 4-0-1 in their last five. You heard that right. Vancouver 12, Tri-City 4, and the record for goals in the dub in one game is 19 goals. It was set by the Tri-City Americans back in 1990. Jack Finley set up three goals in regulation before potting the winner as Spokane edged the Winterhawks 7-6 for its third win in a row, but with the OT lost point, the Winterhawks clinched a playoff berth. They're the first team in the dub to do that this year. Ethan Brown scored the winner at 16:56 of the third period, and Taylor Gauthier made 36 saves as the Cougars down Seattle 6-4. Two perennial baseball contenders appear to be getting together for a blockbuster trade. Reports say Boston shipping Mookie Betts and David Price to L.A. for Alex Verdugo. Minnesota is also involved in the deal. The Twins get Kenta Mader from the Dodgers and are shipping Brusdar Gratterol to Boston. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca and Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where it's Wendell Wednesday. The Wendell Burger is on special today until 3 p.m. I appreciate Jordan Eberle joining us from Long Island and sitting through that sports update, although I would assume, Ebbs, you don't get a ton of WHL coverage out there on Long Island, so there's your update. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing, Rod?
Very good. Very good, Ebbs. Hey, I'm going to jump right in with last night's game. 4-3 OT victory over the Dallas Stars. You had a couple of assists in the game. How'd it go? Looked like an exciting one down there.
Yeah, it was a big win for us. I think if you look at the standings, especially our division, it's about as tight as it can be. So, you know, to come back, get a late overtime or a late power play goal, tie the game up in the third, and then get the overtime win was big. So, you know, we're pretty much in playoff mode right now. It's, you know, a race to the finish line, and we're in a good spot right now.
Wow, I thought it was only the Atlantic Division that was doing that. So that's how do you like playing playoff hockey this early? That could wear some teams out. How do you feel about doing it?
I love it. I mean, I haven't been in these situations very much. I think, you know, obviously in Edmonton, we were out of it pretty early, quite a few years. So to have the opportunity to, you know, have the mental mindset to be every game's important. Those are fun. It sucks when you get down to February, March, and the games don't really mean anything. So it's been fun so far.
Hey, I got to ask you about a guy by the name of Kiefer Bellows, who they're all excited out here. The former Winterhawk made his NHL debut last night, got his way onto the score sheet. What can you tell us about Kiefer Bellows?
Yeah, he was good. you know, he didn't look out of place at all. I think that's the biggest thing. Kid's first game. A lot of times they're a little bit nervous. They're changing quickly and, you know, not really hold on to the puck, but he looked good.
We have viewers from New York, by the way. Joe Lazito Ebbs writes in, and he asked me to ask you about Kiefer Bellows. We just did that. Joe goes on to say, can you ask Barry Trotz to dress Johnston for every game? I don't know who this Johnston is. What? Who is he referring to?
Roscoe is like, I guess you'd call him our enforcer, but he's probably pound for pound one of the toughest guys in the league. So when he's out there, it's gives us a little bit more space, which is nice.
What goes into whether he gets in the lineup or not? Is that based on your opponent, or do you know?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times we play the Rangers, maybe they dress a bigger, tough guy, Haley, or something like that. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of how the lineup's going. I think that's probably a better question for Barry. I don't really deal with that one.
I got to ask you, Ebbs, you have not stopped smiling since you came on here. So I got to ask you something. This trade to New York, how has it been for you? From just watching out here, and we don't get you as much as we'd like the games, but has it kind of recharged you?
Yeah. I mean, it's fun playing meaningful games. I mean, the last couple of years have been great. Last year in the playoffs, and then this year being in the hunt. I can't really compare the two between Edmonton and New York. They're so different, but equally, I like them equally as much. And my wife and I have enjoyed it out here. I mean, there's lots to do. The team, I think this is one of the tighter knit groups that I've been a part of since I've started playing hockey. So it's been a lot of fun.
You probably get asked these questions all the time, but can you go in New York and not be recognized? Because I know in Edmonton you couldn't, but do you have some degree of anonymity there in New York?
Oh yeah, no one knows who we are. It's great, especially in the city. You go anywhere there. I mean, if you do get recognized, it's usually a Canadian, which is funny. But Long Island, you know, I think we do have quite a bit of a fan base here, and you get stopped in the streets. I went for breakfast this morning. Guy came up to me and said, "Nice win last night." So, you know, you do get recognized, and the faithful here really go back to the 1980s and when they were winning cups, and you know, they've been fans since then.
Doyle, the manager of Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon, is writing in. He says, "My favorite player, Ebbs," and Doyle is an Oiler fan, so I get it. Alan Lai writes in. He says, "Do you still face off against Taylor Hall in NHL 20? And if not, do the Islanders have a video game tournament? Do you guys play against each other?"
No, I haven't played NHL in a long time, but you know, it's funny. I'm getting old enough now where I got nephews and nieces that are playing as me. So that's where we're at with that right now. So I'm having a kid here in about a month too. So times are changing for me.
There is a time in your life, trust me, Ebbs, you'll get there. Sounds like it's right around the corner that you don't have time for video games, but I don't think Taylor Hall's anywhere near that yet. A couple Pats alum with the Islanders, you know, we're following real closely. Well, for one, Clark Gillies was on with us last week, and he says, as far as he's concerned, you're having a great season. And then you got Barry Trotz down there, former Pats captain, as your head coach. What's your relationship with Trotzy like?
Trotsky's great. him and I have, you know, the connection with obviously the Pats and then Notre Dame as well. I've been a Western boy. You know, I think with Barry, he's such a presence back there with the respect factor. He's got Stanley Cup. He's got, I think he's what, third or fourth all time wins. In my opinion, he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame. So you just soak in, you listen to what he has to say. You know, I think with losing JT last year and Barry coming in and implementing a system that, you know, we all kind of stuck to and, you know, it's very defensive and, you know, you maybe got to give up your individual stats sometimes, but you're winning hockey games and that's what it's about. I mean, that's the point of my career where that's what we want to do. And we've had a good group that's bought into what he's saying. And that's why we've had success. So the nights that we don't have success, a lot of times we're straying away from that, but you know, Barry's done a good job of, and Lou Lamoriello of implementing a system, and we've got the group that's kind of initiating it out there.
What do you think Trotsky's secret is? And I don't mean systems per se, but like, does he let you guys have input in the game plan or let you be yourselves? Or what do you think as a player's coach is his secret?
I think he does a really good job of finding a role for each guy on the team, whether it's minor, whether you're PKing or whether you're power player, whatever it is. It seems like every guy on our team, 4-4, it doesn't matter. A guy has a role on the team. And for the most part, they feel pretty important. And I think if you look at the way that he plays, especially the forwards, which he runs, it's pretty equal. I mean, we're running four lines and every night we win by committee. We're not, you know, we're not focusing and worrying and trying to just play two lines and trying to win by that way. It's a long 82-game season. I mean, the playoffs gets pretty bit into a grind, and Barry does a good job of, you know, keeping everyone in and keeping the team together.
Ebs, we've started something all the fans and viewers want to ask questions, so I'm just going to ask one more from them and then one from me, and I'll let you go. But Gregory Lai writes in and he says, who's a better fighter, Ross Johnston or Matt Martin?
Ooh. I'm gonna get in trouble with this one. I'm gonna go with Ross. I think Ross is a little bit bigger. I'm sure Maddie will beat me up tomorrow for that. But I mean, they're both equally tough. But yeah, RJ for me is, you know, one of the toughest guys that I've seen play. And you know, pound for, I don't know if I've seen him lose a fight yet. So it is, he's a tough kid.
Well, that's easy. That was an easy answer. Well, I lied. I might have two questions.
Well, it's an easy
for you,
answer for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Battle of Alberta. I don't know how much you're watching it, but you saw the Nuge fought the other night. It was his third career fight. It was Sean Monahan's first ever. I don't know if he fought in junior, but it got me thinking about yours that night in Brandon. What were you thinking that night? Because I remember you got on the bus after and I said, why did you do that? And you said, because everybody else was. What do you remember about your only major junior fight?
Well, I picked the biggest guy, which was stupid. Junior hockey, I think your tempers flare. You know, it's funny, my second year with Regina, I remember we had a real tough team. Ryan Bender, Watt, obviously Tubes on the team, Miles Stays. We had a really tough team, and I remember we got in a couple bench brawls that year with Moose Jaw, and we had quite a few line brawls that year, but yeah, you know, I always seem to stay out of it. We get at a bench bro, I'd be looking for the trainer usually, try and fight him. But that night in Brandon, I remember we just, and same thing, game got out of hand a little bit. I think we had a line brawl and somehow ended up with, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Erbaum or Fair. It was one of the two. It seems like it's so long ago. But fighting's not really my thing, as you've seen. I think I've got a couple NHL fights and haven't done too well. So. But sometimes it gets the team going. It's fun to do, especially if you're, you know, not playing well, the team's not playing well. It's fun to, you know, get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And, you know, you just duck your head and throw as many punches. A lot of times you don't get hit anyway. So it makes you look good.
I'm actually glad that you said that because you didn't do too bad. And Huntsy loved it. I mean, you didn't lose. It was like a draw. But I was just like, why are you doing that? It was a 7-1 game. But for you to say everybody was doing it, that actually makes sense to me. Tony Stefan says, Jordan, what is your favorite goal of all time? May I? World Juniors? Ottawa? That's got to be your number one goal.
I think it'd be probably yeah, I mean that one or my first NHL goal in my first game. That one was with my family there too. I don't know, either one of those. It's like, I think the Canada goal, obviously, because it went on, because we went on to win that tournament, and that was pretty special. I think if we would have went and won the next year in Saskatoon, in overtime, the two I scored before we tied it up too was, I mean, they're all, I think anytime you connect a goal to your team winning, that's probably the Ottawa one. That was pretty special and still quite a hot topic when I meet people. It's, seems that it's neat to hear where people were, or that it's still a fond memory. Even, Matt Barzell on my team, I found a tweet that he had tweeted out in 2012, something like that. He was still maybe just before junior. He tweeted out, you know, that goal that Jordan Eberle scored in World Junior still gives me goosebumps. It's hilarious because we're playing together now. So, you know, when you connect to kids like that, or you know, people hear where they are, it's neat to hear those stories.
You've probably seen that it was voted the greatest World Junior goal ever, and you were voted the greatest Canadian World Junior ever. I can't even. You knew, well, obviously you knew that, right? I mean. You know, I'm not going to ask you to talk about that because you're so humble, you won't want to. The guys that own the tap, the Wire writes, and he says, how many times did Jordan forget his jacket at the tap when he was too young? We won't go there.
Great spot.
Is a great spot. Great food. Last one. You saw Tubi, our interview with him the other day. I appreciate the retweet, by the way. I was a little taken aback that he's coaching, running an entire junior program in Bellingham, Washington. Coach, GM, marketing guy, head scout, blah, 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 blah. I'm just proud of him for taking it on. Yeah. What do you think of that whole situation?
Yeah, Tubes has come a long way. I mean, from the kid that, I mean, we both met when we were 16, he's, you know, he's a dad. He's got, I think he's got two kids. Three? I can't remember. I keep in touch with Tubes once in a while. He's got two or three kids, and he's, you know, obviously running the whole organization down there with coach, GM, scout. I think I heard him in his interview say he was going to pick up the food too. So he's got his hands full there. But, you know, Tubes is, I play with him when he was in Edmonton too, and he did very well. He's, you know, obviously he's a pretty mature guy. He's, especially after he had some kids, he's really matured up. And, you know, I'd love to see him get an opportunity, whether it's junior. I think that's, he had mentioned he wanted to move into that and try and get a coaching job or move into the pro ranks. He's got a lot of experience. You know, obviously one of the best leaders that I've played with, him in Regina and Edmonton and World Juniors, and he's a good guy. So, you know, it was good to see him on your show the other day. I don't get enough time to spend with him. I see him maybe once a year or if that. So he's you know, him and I have a lot of fond memories together, and it'd be good to see him move on towards his goals.
You bet. Those were great times, and I think he'll be a success at whatever he puts his mind to, and I think he's actually putting his mind to something now. So I think that
it's amazing.
He'll be great. Ebs, look, we'll let you go. I'm going to be in Vegas next week for a couple games. One is the Saturday with the Islanders in town, so I'll be the fat guy in the stands in the morning skate, looking down
Shoot
on you there.
Shoot me a text before the game.
I will. All right, Ebs, thanks for the time, man. This has been fun.
I'll take some money off you in Madden.
Well, again, right. Unsportsmanlike, running up the score. Thanks, Ebs.
All right, take care. Thanks a lot.
Jordan Eberle joining us, and for you youngsters that don't know, Clark, did you have a Playboy, or not Playboy, Sony PlayStation? What was that, PlayStation? What was the one you had in your hand? The Sony?
Oh, yeah,
PSP. That's what it was. Personal PlayStation. And so Ebs and I would play each other NFL football, Madden football, and he would just destroy me. He had Michael Vick, and I could never stop him. I couldn't stop him. And you know how you used to play with the come on in, dupes. This is not that fancy. You can come join us here. Did you have the Playboy? No, not Playboy. Personal PlayStation. And did you have one of those?
No.
It was like
I had a Game Boy.
It was like Wi-Fi before Wi-Fi was a thing. So yeah. I could play him on the. I'd be in the second seat in the bus. He'd be in the back of the bus, and he would just kick my ass every game and run up the score. And finally, and I think we had money on the line. So I stood up one time and threw my PlayStation at him for being unsportsmanlike. yeah. for running up the score on me. They couldn't stop Michael Vick.
That's video games. Me and when I used to live in Saskatoon, you know, 19 years old, but we had a Madden league. And so we'd have our season. We'd put multiple guys in there. And so me and Tim were about to play. I'm the Titans. He's the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Brian Leftwich, I think, was the quarterback at the time. He comes. We said, okay, this week's game, Friday night, 6 o'clock before we go out to the bar, 6 o'clock. So he comes down the stairs. He's got a toothpaste 8 on his chest for his quarterback. Wrong number, by the way. The quarterback was number 7. So he was off from the beginning. And then I remember I scored a touchdown. And on the ensuing kickoff, which I've never seen, the guy fumbled it. His guy fumbled it, and my guy picked it up and scored. He tomahawked the controller at the fireplace, and he walked away.
Well, a couple things. Rick Regan, our big voice guy, the guy that says, the Rod Peterson Show. Rick's watching from Kansas, and he writes in. He says, I'm not wanting to know what Clark had in his hand with a Playboy. You and me both, Rick. Jeff Kabilis. Jeff, you got to let us know how to say your last name. He says, Vic was the equivalent of Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, i.e., you couldn't stop him. It was unstoppable. So Ebbs had figured this out, and I was calling Ryder games at the same time as Pat's games. So I got one of those wristbands from Marcus Crandall. He was the Ryder quarterback. I had my plays down on my wrist playing. And I Madden on the bus, and I couldn't beat Eberle. And he would run like 87-0.
Oh yeah,
it became. And everybody else would be asleep. And I stood up and I threw it at him. I yelled at him. That's unsportsmanlike. And then Huntsie's like, "What are you doing? Sit down. It's a video game."
I can imagine. I can see it though.
You can see a couple of
competitors. But yeah, Michael Vick. It used to be a rule. It was like, okay, we're playing, but you can't be the Falcons. You can't be Michael Vick. Because it was too unfair. He's the best football player in the history of the video game.
this is awesome. I know we're way over time here. Jeff says that I said it right, by the way. Kabilis. I'm big on names. After a lifetime in broadcasting, I want to get people's names right. I guessed, and I got it right. Sean Dahl in Saskatoon says, Madden brings out the... brings out the worst in people. My brother broke the GameCube controller playing against me in Madden 08. That's what it was, Madden 08. Because Eberle left in 2010. His last game with the Pats was my last game with the Pats, which I think is kind of fitting. And he scored his 50th goal in the last game. And I'm still mad.
Yeah.
I wish we would have made that rule. No Vic. It would have saved my personal PlayStation.
Then it's fair. Yeah.
We'll be back with overtime right after this. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, wow, what a day. Welcome back, everybody, to the overtime segment for Emerald Water, Emerald Water YQR. When I say what a day, it's because this show itself was just nuclear. And again, best guest booker in Canada. I was going to put this on Twitter or Facebook last night. I still may. Just that I think Clark Monroe was the best guest booker in broadcasting. Today, Dave Naylor of TSN, the CFL insider, Devone Claybrooks, free agent head coach, most recently with the BC Lions, who handled his departure from the Lions very classily in that interview today. And then just Jordan Eberle right now, who a decade later is still trolling me for beating me handily in Madden. And not to mention the offshoots coming out of today's show, like the Montreal Alouettes have cut their cheerleading team.
Yeah. Why?
So, cost-cutting, apparently. I mean, a lot of stuff, when I'm in this chair, and you've done it enough.
Oh, yeah.
It's like running across the freeway. Zoom, 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 zoom. You know, like, stuff's going on, and I got to rely on the viewers and Clark to tell me what's going on during the show. So that Alouettes news release came out that the cheerleaders were being cut. I haven't had a chance to look into it. But I got to say, what's happening to our CFL? What's happening? How do you cut a cheerleader team? Do you guys understand that you're going to be mocked from every corner of the continent for cutting your cheerleading team? Cut something that nobody sees. You know, cut the owner's lunch expense account, not the cheerleaders, unless it's just me. But I like, what's happening to our CFL? And as much as I love it, I owe a lot of what I have to it. And you can't put this per se on the CFL. You got to put it on the Alouettes, but it still comes back to the CFL. There's no Mark CFL week, which you just get it rolling, and everybody's starting to wonder where it's going to be. And it was awesome. I was at it in Regina. I was at it in Winnipeg. And now you're not having it. That's, things like this are what causes people to poke and make fun of the CFL. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It just... Could you, yeah. I know it's a different league. Could you imagine that happening in the NFL? No.
Which part?
You know, yeah.
Anyway. Cutting the cheerleading team?
Cutting the cheerleading team. That's tough. And now.
Now where are they going to go?
And it's cost cutting.
That's what they're saying.
Now, if it, it's different if it's a morality thing or a different direction and you're trying to evolve.
Come on.
But even then, but it's a different arc. That's less of that the CFL, right? That's less CFL to do it if you're trying to be progressive, you know, and try and go in that direction. And that's a whole different argument. But to do it, yeah.
What's progressive about it?
But for cutting costs, it just seems weak.
Doug Cameron in Calgary writes in, he says, the Stampeders trimmed their cheer team by 50% last year. You know what? That's cool. Who would know? I didn't know until you just told me. But to axe them all out at one time?
Don't they fundraise?
Go sell some chocolates.
Well, I mean, I know here they sell calendars and whatever else, and that's how they get to go to Grey Cup and do different
things. Brian in Regina says maybe they're bringing in the global cheerleading team. Randy's Vision.
Ooh, spicy.
From Rick Regan, watching in Kansas, the NFL brings in million-dollar pole dancers. Yes, they do, but we're not the National Football League. Could have $100 pole dance. Stop. Which reminds me, John Chick, who, Rick, you wouldn't know, but he's a Hall of Fame defensive end in Rough Rider history, but he's a big-time God guy, went off on the Super Bowl halftime show the other night. Like, went off on a 7-minute rant on Facebook. Have you seen it? To the point where people are now selling their John Chick jerseys. They're saying, if you are that militant and part of the religious right that you have this big of a problem with the Super Bowl, we're not fans of yours anymore. Which, by the way, if you watched the video, John's like, I don't care. This is me. And if you don't like my views, unfollow me. So how did a dang Super Bowl halftime show have to tear people apart? What was the thing last week? What was a good thing started as a bad thing on Facebook. Everybody started fighting. What was it? We were talking about it on the show. Some nice movement. I'd have to think about it because I'm in the middle of this. From Wayne in Victoria, BC, he says, I agree 100%, Rod. The CFL seems to shoot themselves in the foot too often. That's the thing. I mean, I used to... Got to be careful here, but I've had teams say to me, you can't make us look bad. You need to protect us at all times. I said, I can't protect you when you make you look bad. Don't come to me to cover up your mess. And that's why I don't need to be affiliated with the team to validate myself. This is our team. I'm not needing or looking for validation to sign up with the team anymore. I'm not saying I won't ever, but right now I'm just not interested in it. And that's cutting the cheerleader team. Just looks Bush League.
It does. It just looks bad. It just looks bad. Hey, we're tight of money, so we're cutting the cheerleading team.
Tom Geiger, one of our viewers, writes in. He says, aren't cheerleaders for marketing the team everywhere they go? This is absolutely short-sighted. I'm sure it's not because they get paid too much. Well, for years and years and years, cheerleaders were volunteering. But that's not really my area. I don't know if they're getting paid anymore. I don't know if they pay for their travel or their outfits or whatever. I don't know. And by the way, I might be ranting about something I don't even know about. I'm going by what somebody said to me. It was a cost-cutting measure. Maybe it's not. But what else would you get rid of your cheerleading team?
Yeah. I don't know. It's part of the game day experience. I mean.
And again, right in the middle of it. Was Nick Lewis is reading it to me off his phone. So I haven't even seen the news release
yet. Yeah, I'd have to look at it.
Tom goes on to say, I love Chick, but I'm not with him on his rant. I did feel a wee bit uncomfortable watching J-Lo and Shakira's halftime show with my wife. What are you saying, Tom? What?
No, that's good.
If your wife wasn't there?
You'd be okay.
What? I'm trying to find the release. Nick better have been right. Do we have any confirmation that the Alouettes have cut?
Yeah, I guess we should confirm it before we,
should we confirm
crap
it?
All over it, hey?
Clark says this on Twitter, so it must be true.
News team is on it.
Oh, from Hershey, Keith Hirschmiller writes in. He says, should be interesting what they replace them with. What's that supposed to mean? He just said a dog show. I was thinking the same thing you were, Keith. A dog show. Sports on Tap, which we do every day for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. In the Western Hockey League tonight, the Regina Pats are at the Saskatoon Blades. I got my Pats pullover on, and Darren has his Blades t-shirt on. You want to make a bet?
Sure.
On the outcome tonight, I'll bet Pats lunch at Ballers.
Okay.
And if I have to pay, it's at Ballers. If you have to pay, it's at Wendell Clark's. How's that?
Deal.
Okay. Also tonight, Moose Jaw at Winnipeg. It's the Battle of the Warriors. PA at Medicine Hat, Lethbridge at Red Deer, and Seattle at Prince George. SJ last night, the SaskTel Max TV local game of the month. Flin Flon beat Yorkton 4-3 last night in Yorkton. Nipawin down Weyburn 3-2 at Crescent Point Place, and Kindersley was a 4-3 winner over the Humboldt Broncos. Tonight, three games. Nipawin at Estevan, LaRange at Melfort, Flin Flon at Melville. In the National Hockey League, Toronto at the Rangers tonight. There is a classic matchup right there.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto Maple Leafs at the New York Rangers. It'll Will be we good. Be able to watch it? Wednesday night
so.
Hockey, probably?
I hope so.
Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. And Boston at Chicago. Another Original Six matchup there. Just two games. And in the NBA, the Pacers are at the Raptors tonight. Janelle Barkman in Saskatoon watching. She says, it's also unfortunate for the future of cheer in Canada. As the mom of two cheerleaders, they have very little options in Canada. Most cheerleaders have to go to the States to have a future in the sport. Now, we jest somewhat. This is no small thing. This is no small thing. Alouette's getting rid of their cheerleaders.
And I got it from the Montreal Gazette. So they've got it. Yeah, there will be no squad. Director of Montreal's cheerleading squad, Annie LaRouche, announced Wednesday there will be no squad. In a Facebook post, made the announcement with a broken heart. And it said it was a financial decision. I've literally spent half my life surrounded by these amazing women and men. Goes on to say she's been with the Alouettes for 24 years and continue her work with youth as director of the general of the Alouettes Foundation, director general of the Alouettes Foundation. So financial decision, sounds like it was the cheerleaders. They fund themselves. That's kind of what I'm taking. She made the decision.
Well, we need to get to the bottom of this.
Financial decision. I thought they were self-funded. I didn't think any of the cheerleading teams were funded by the teams, but maybe an opportunity for the team
to
step up.
It's not the point. You don't allow your cheerleading team to fold. You don't. Step up, have a fundraiser, have a Save the Cheerleader campaign, whatever.
Telethon.
It's All-American. It's apple pie. It's the Canadian Football League. It's as Canadian as back bacon and maple syrup. You watch.
Yep.
They won't go down. They'll be saved.
All right.
Somebody was asking about us going to 3 hours. Were you privy to that comment?
I was listening.
How would you answer that?
Well, it's a two-hour show right now. That's how I'd answer it.
All right. One day at a time. But I appreciate you, Paul and Red Deer, for wanting us to go to 3 hours. For now, I'm good. I like my two-hour workday. I'm off the clock. I'm done. You got to get on the road.
I got to get on
so,
the road.
So that's it. Thank you, Clark. And that is Sports on Tap for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store, and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the Brewhouse. Stop by and see them today. It was a real big show. Nick Lewis, Dave Naylor, Devone Claybrooks, Jordan Eberle. Some real big names. Tomorrow, how fast can you type, Clark?
Hunt and peck, like my dad.
Phil Andrews. Dr. Phil from TSN Winnipeg, Darren Bauming, Kirk Myers of the Myers curling team, Braden Muscoe of the provincial champion Dunstone curling team. They're on their way to the Brier. Jared Dumbo will be with us, our hockey analyst, 10-year pro. Trevor Redden, the voice of the Prince Albert Raiders. We're very big in Prince Albert, by the way. Have you noticed that?
I'm starting to. It's in your face. How can you not?
It's in my face. No, we got into the Raiders Facebook group, fan group, and now they're commenting like crazy. We got Ozzie Weisblatt here on the table. We're all in on the Raiders. And here you go. From Tyler, our social media advisor, says Dupes is on to Cincinnati. Actually,
it's a two-hour show.
You're on to Saskatoon.
I am on to Saskatoon.
Okay, see you tomorrow, everybody. 10 a.m. Central, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.